I have a special friend I've asked to come up here for a couple, just take 2 minutes. And the reason I think it's so exciting to have Bob here this morning is because a month ago when we were at the Muncie Mission Pastor's Lunch, he presented something very special and it caught my heart. And this last week at Good News Crew, both at Selma and Monroe Central, we were able to purchase and distribute these Bibles that he's going to tell you about. And if you just take 2 minutes, tell us about where you were sharing these Bibles and tell us about it.
Good morning. It's great to be here. I was a pastor for 38 years, and 2 years ago the Lord told me to resign, and I didn't know why. And then Time to Revive came to Muncie. Some people know about that, and many don't. It didn't make a big impact as we hoped it would. Our ministry goes around the country and brings churches together and teaches them how to use this Bible and to share the gospel. By the grace of God, I've led 250 people personally to the Lord last year. And this Bible makes it possible. The glory goes to God because I, for years, I always was interested in evangelism. You talk about bores. When I was 9 years old, I was at a Billy Graham film. For those of you who are under 35, you grew up with TV, but we old folks, there wasn't TV, so a Billy Graham film would come to our town and everybody would come to watch it. You know, that's how I got saved in a high school. Anyways, what we do is train people, encourage people to just approach people in the marketplace, in fast food restaurants, in parks, in the summertime, in parking lots. And we just say, excuse me, sir, could I pray for you? 80% will let you pray for them because everybody needs, you know, somebody's hurting in their family. They need something. After we pray, we take this wristband off and we say, sir, since I prayed for your mother, I'd like to just give you this as a reminder that God cares about your mother's concern. And then some will say thank you and just walk away really fast because they're like, what is this guy doing, you know? But if they don't run away from you, then you say, sir, there's a scripture on there. Could we read those scriptures with you? And we've got the Bible hidden and we pull it out we say, we give it to them. And there's a highlighted verse under each of the leads to death. The black is the death. And then we talk about the love of Jesus, how Jesus died for us. And then blue is faith. You have to have faith to receive Christ. And if you do that, if you believe in your heart and confess Jesus, Lord, you can be saved. And that's green for eternal life. And before I found out these tools, there's also cards with the same information. Usually you put two Bibles in your pocket, and if you run out of Bibles, you got 10 more cards that you can keep sharing the gospel when you go out. To tell you how easy it is, many times we go into like fast food or dollar stores, and I'd buy a coffee at Wendy's, and then I'd say, can I pray for you? And many times that leads to a salvation. You'd be surprised how often. Obviously, if there's a line behind you, you can't do that. But if there's no line, I want to encourage you to think that's an opportunity to pray for your clerk. Surprisingly, I've become famous in our ministry because of dollar stores. And I go into Dollar General's and ask the clerk for permission to pray with people that come to the store. And she'll say, well, pray for me first. And I say, well, how can I pray for you? And they're like, over a dozen people last year said, I want to know Jesus better. And I said, do you go to church? And they say, no. I said, so you've never asked Jesus into your heart? And they say, no. And I take them through these scriptures and in less than 2 minutes, and they get saved right there at the counter. And then they let me witness to other people in their stores. It's just been amazing. Just recently I was in Walmart. There was a woman whose house had just burnt down, and she had four teenagers with her. And the kids, the family went to a church, but the kids had not gotten saved yet, and all four accepted Christ that morning. So it's just amazing.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you so much. Let's give Bob a hand. Thank you for coming, brother. Thank you. Wow. 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 We're going to have Bob back at another time and let you know when that is, because he's also been to the country of Cuba. And it is amazing how people are coming to faith in Christ in Cuba. By the hundreds and thousands. So that's what sparked my interest. We were able to secure 90 of those Bibles. Like I said, this last week we handed them out at Selma and again at Monroe Central then later. And kids were so excited. And we even showed them those little tabs, told them to take it home. The great thing is, as well, in the back, when you get to tab number 6, it gives you more information about how to be grounded in your faith after you accept Jesus, about praying, about attending a church, about sharing your faith with other people. It's wonderful. So thank you. Thank you and your wife for coming today, and blessings on your ministry. This morning we want to continue in our series. You see the title up there. This week is entitled Week 11, Bearing With One Another. Bearing with one another. When I was walking through these better together statements, or the one another statements as Paul puts them, I thought when I came across bearing each other's burdens, spot on. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But then there was like this second thing that right after that said, bearing with one another. I was like, did somebody who wrote that book I saw back in the 80s, did they have a typo and they just were kind of just messing that up? Those are two totally different things. Now they overlap, but they're different. So I'm encouraged that we can have this time to look at this today. So if you'll join me, we'll do that. And we first of all want to start with our quote that we're reading each week, because I can't get away from this. Let's read this together. Please read this with me. We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable. We are all better together. That is so true. I saw that last November. It stuck in my brain. It means more to me today than it did then. I see people struggling, and sometimes people say, I just can't make it to church because I've got this issue, or I've got this problem. I'm like, wow, that's when you need to be at church. That's when you need to be with the body of Jesus, because we are all better together. We aren't designed to do this alone. And so thank you for being here today. Last week we talked about bear ye one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ, and it was all about carrying each other's burdens. And Paul said it this way in Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, we who are spiritual, look at the way that I've underlined different things there. First of all, we who are spiritual. You remember the word for spiritual in the original language? What was that word? Anybody remember it? Come on. I could pick on Janie. Come on. Anybody remember about spiritual, you who are spiritual? Anybody remember me talking about going to Sears? Were you all here last week? I'm sorry. Let me look at the sign out here real quick. Hold on just a second. Okay. All right. Yeah. We're at Harris Chapel. Okay. All right. Just making sure. I was talking about going to Sears, and what did I see at Sears? Tools. Yeah. What kind of tools? Pneumatic. Pneumatic. Remember we talked about pneumatic? Yeah. And some of you got stuck because of the one definition for pneumatic. Now, some of you remember that. Pneumatic was this thing that means it's driven by air. It's driven by force. Pneumatic. We are called, and same word, pneumatic, pneuma. We are called to be pneumatic because we are called pneuma, spirit-filled people. So if we're filled with the Spirit, see, this is why you need to hear this today, because a lot of us, we run around and we get discouraged because I'm having this struggle. I'm under a load. I'm having issues. And do you understand you're spirit-filled if you're in Jesus? You're spirit-filled, and if you're spirit-filled, you are pneumatic, which means that His Spirit is at, do we understand this? His Spirit is at work in us to do His will. You're not doing this alone. In fact, that's why that original statement was so important from Christine Kane. We were not meant to do this alone. First of all, the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Second of all, we're doing this as part of the body of Jesus. I love to think about it, and I can still hear the sound of that pneumatic drill as it quickly and tightly put those lug nuts on the wheel when the tire had been changed, or before when it quickly, precisely took those lug nuts off. I've always wanted to have one of those, okay? I've got an air compressor. If you've got one of those you're not using, I'll take it off your hands, okay? Just to go out in the garage and play with it, okay? Just to hear that noise one more time. I'm trying to be funny with you, so hopefully you'll remember what I'm saying here. We're called to be spirit-filled, amen?
Amen.
All right, want to make sure you're with me. Thank you so much. Now, the second thing, or the thing we're going to talk about today, is not only bearing each other's burdens, but today we're talking about bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. The handout we gave you last week said, we will patiently extend forgiveness to erring brethren, remembering Jesus' forgiveness, and admitting our own need. See, here's the big deal, and there's so many things I want to unpack with this scripture. which, by the way, Bob, thank you for being here today. You know, we hear a lot of stuff, you know. We hear a lot of news. In fact, this week I had to go on and delete another app. I've been deleting apps off my phone. And this week I deleted CNN off my phone. Now, some of you are saying, it's about time. Others are saying, why CNN? Well, let me tell you why. Because we have a lot of news outlets that are out there that are, they're critical. Now, and when you hear the word critical, it can be a positive word or it can be a negative word. When I was in high school, I was in the band, we'd go to contest, and at the end of the presentation, we would get a critique sheet. Anybody ever do those critique sheets? Whether it be for music or drama, and the judge would give you a critique sheet. The critique sheet was designed for you to learn what the problem was, to work on that. It was also designed to see what your strengths were, to work on that. CNN, let me just tell you this publicly, is not about a positive critique, okay? They are only critical in a negative sense, and we don't need to be surrounded by that kind of stuff. There are times we need to be critiqued. We need to be called out. There are times we need to allow God Himself to judge us. We need to be judged. But only for us to be better and more in the image of Jesus, not for the purposes of being torn down, destroyed, and torn apart. So I want to encourage you this morning. That's why yesterday Janie and I were going into town, and I was just really struggling with something, and I said, I got to hear some word right now. Because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of interests out there and a lot of folklore out there, even perceptions of how the church is done. But we got to get this. And I just thought, are we taking enough time to get into this? You can even get an app on your phone, which I'm using now, that shows you how much you're using your phone. It's already on there. If you've got an iPhone, it's already on there. You just have to click it so it comes on. And it tells you how much time you're spending on social media, how much time you're spending on emails, and other. I think it would be interesting if we had kind of a little thing throughout our day is, it's hard to do this, but how much time am I taking during the day thinking about the Word and spending in the Word and speaking the Word in my heart, allowing it to speak to me and speak to my wife and my family? Or how much time am I allowing other stuff to get in my brain and to allow that to control my brain? It's powerful. It's important. So let's look at it to duration. Because we want to bear each other's burdens in an effort to see that person restored. See, there's another way to look at criticism. We're not criticizing somebody to tear them down. We are being critical. We are giving a critical eye for the purpose of restoration. And even the scripture last week said, be careful lest you fall too. Because the critical person can get caught up in their own criticism and be lost as well. But what I'm saying this morning is restoration is this thing of understanding that we are bearing with each other, or last week bearing one another's burdens, for restoration, for being built up as part of the body. Today we're bearing with one another. Let's look at the scripture together. Ephesians 4, if you have your Bibles or you can look at the screen. Ephesians 4, we'll come back and take this verse and look at the different components in it. You'll see some things underlined, but I want you to listen carefully as I read that. Then we're going to read some passage of Scripture from Colossians 3. But first of all, Ephesians 4, okay? As a prisoner for the Lord. I like Paul starting off like that. He was a prisoner for Jesus. Sometimes literally in chains, but ever since the Damascus Road, always in his heart, he was spiritually captured by Jesus. Are you in chains for Jesus? Are you living your own way? A lot of people in the world, they say, I want to live my own way. Don't judge me. I can make my own choices. I'm a grown-up. You're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying what the Word says. Just calling us out. Because I want us to be better. Right. That's my job, is for us to be better, to be stronger in Jesus. That's what this is about. So he says here, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Do you see what he's doing there? He's wanting them not to just say, okay, I'm a prisoner, I'm in trouble, you've got issues, I've got issues, let's get together and just complain about our issues. No. He says, as a prisoner for Jesus, my hope is that you will be encouraged by this letter and others I am writing, that you may be worthy, that you may be worthy of the calling you've received. And I love verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Let's read that underlined part together. Would you join me? Bearing with one another in love. And we're going to look at the word humble, gentle, and patient in just a minute. But this is the key for this morning's sermon. This whole idea of bearing with one another is that we're called as people who are humble, gentle, and patient in love. What is that bearing with? We'll talk about it. He says in verse 3, make every effort. I love that too. Have you made every effort? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I want us to jump over to Colossians 3. This is going to be a long reading, but believe me, it is worth it. It is so worth it. We've talked about Colossians 3 before. The first couple of verses, I love these verses. I think I've got this in the NLT, or you may see it as NIV. Just you can follow along, and as I read it, just follow along. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts... All right, let me read it from the screen, I'm sorry. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. In other words, up there, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That's why you and I need to be in the scripture. That's how you and I think about the things of heaven. CNN will not help you think about the things of heaven. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Are you getting anything from that word? That is strong. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Paul just nails it. He's judging us, isn't he? Good for Paul. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now, don't miss that, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Moving on. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. See what the Bible's telling us there? You've gotten rid of that stuff. If you're in Jesus, you've gotten rid of that stuff. Put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. That's why I wanted to use the NLT right there. I'm going to read that again. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Isn't that good news? Let's go on. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, and by the way, that's who you are, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice how Paul puts those words right in there. We saw it a minute ago in Ephesians 4, those words like humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, here it is again in verse 12 of this letter. And then he says this, make allowance for each other's faults. In the NIV, it says, bear with each other, that underlined part, and forgive anyone. Everyone, all the people who offend you, remember the Lord forgave you. Remember the Lord forgave you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Wow. Wow. I wanted to read that to you because I want you to listen carefully to what Paul is saying. He's really speaking from his heart. He's not just writing some kind of New York Times bestseller hoping that people catch on and say, oh, this is the latest, you got to get this book. He's like, this is life. This is everything. And if you're going to, you can get through life, absolutely. But if you want to get through life the way that God wants you to get through life, with the joy of His salvation at work in your heart, here are the keys. Okay, back to Ephesians 4. We saw these words, three big things, lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. That is how we bear with each other. You can't just say, and this is what's so neat about Paul and Jesus himself, they don't just throw something out there and say, oh, by the way, bear with each other. No, he gives us handles on how to do it. And I'm not going to go into all the Greek words of lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, but I just want to read a couple things here. Lowliness is voluntary humility. The idea, humility of mind becomes us, inside out, and that we walk worthy of the calling when we evidence that lowliness. That's how it's lived out in us. That it's just, it's that voluntary humility. We just decide. Nobody else decides for us. We decide, God, I need to be that person. The second thing is meekness. It's the manner that we receive the stuff of life that comes at us. I remember, I may have told you this, my buddy Paul Whiteford was driving along one day and they had a bird. I don't know if it was a buzzard or what it was. They just ran right in their windshield, just boom, and flew across. And his son Anthony, who's severely autistic, just looked at his dad and said, Dad, life comes at you fast. Well, guess what? Life comes at you fast. It does. It does. And so Paul says here, with meekness. So what meekness is all about is when life comes at you fast, when it hits you right in the windshield, you're not there to retaliate or to seek revenge. What that is, it's the fact that the gospel has blessed us inside out so much, and we show its power to be able to enable or to help us be able to bear with that stuff that comes at us without anger, desire of revenge, with a mild and forgiving spirit. Now, this is not a forgiving spirit, what I'm about to say. I forgive you, but I don't trust you. That's not a forgiving spirit, okay? Can we just get that out there? Meekness. And then long-suffering. Long-suffering, bearing patiently with the faults, infirmities, all the issues of others. See, the deal is this. If you've lived with people, whether you're in a meaningful relationship, you're married, you have children, you have parents, you have aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces, if you've been in those relationships, co-workers, neighbors, for very long, all of a sudden you realize other people are not like you. Okay? Have you found that out yet? Other people are not like you. In fact, I remember one of the things in us going through premarital counseling, we had this book we were reading, Communication Key to Your Marriage. And one of the things that was said was, if you are both like each other, if you're just exactly like each other, there will come a time where you will not like each other if you are like each other. And I heard another guy say it this way, if you are like each other, one of you is not necessary. Okay? So here's the deal. As we go through life, we're going to find those idiosyncrasies. We're going to find those differences. We're going to find those things about that person that just ticks us off. Paul knew that. Their temperament is different than ours. Their taste is different than ours. They don't like country, and we don't know why they don't like country. They should like country. I go to a spinning class on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and our teacher refuses to play Carrie Underwood. I do not know why. She says, I know she's a lovely person, but we just don't play Carrie Underwood in here. Anyway, long-suffering says, instead of getting hacked off with that spinning class and saying, I'm not coming back to that spinning class anymore because they're not playing Carrie Underwood. Long-suffering says, you know what? I'm not here for that. I'm here because I love being with the others that are in here, and I love sweating, and I love burning calories, and just hanging with each other, and doing life, and there's times we pray for each other, there's times we pick on each other, there's times we laugh with and at each other. But the deal is this, we're different in long-suffering. Says, you know what, you don't like Carrie Underwood, I do, it's okay, it's okay. I know sometimes I one of the things I remember back in my very first church was people have different tastes in worship. They do. They do. I was joking with John a while ago about it. I remember somebody came to Francis Chan. I wasn't going to tell this, John, but somebody came to Francis Chan one time. He said, Francis, you all heard Francis Chan. They said, I don't know if I really like this kind of worship. And he just looked at him and said, it's okay, we're not here to worship you. Think about that. Long-suffering means that we're bearing patiently with the faults and infirmities of others. I know marriages that could be a whole lot healthier. Church relationships that could be a whole lot healthier. Parent-child relationships, child-parent-grandparent relationships could be a whole lot healthier. If long-suffering, Paul says that's how you bear with each other, is this gift of long-suffering. Any relationship we're a part of. Kids can teach us some stuff on this. I've seen kids before, you have as well. They're out on the playground. First recess, they're coming in, they're all upset, they're mad. He pushed me out on the playground. I can't be Tommy's friend anymore. You know, they're just ready to just, you know, they're sweating mad, you know. And by that afternoon, you know what has happened? They're out there on the playground again, and they're like arm in arm walking along with each other. Hey, we're best friends, here's Tommy. And kids are so wonderful about that. But then comes middle school and we hold grudges. But here's another thing, too, that we have to understand with this idea of lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. One other thing I discovered that Paul was talking about, this bearing with one another, is understand that all through life, we are going... Now, this sounds so simplistic and a little bit stupid, but it's true. All through life, we are going through life, okay? See, some people get this idea of life is kind of like, when I get to Niagara Falls and I get to see the falls, then I'll be, life is worth it. If I could just get to Disney World, life is worth it. You know, these things we put, these destination, they call it destination disease. If I can just get to that destination, then I'll be happy. You know, we've got to be more realistic to understand that lowliness and meekness, and all, I can be happy just going to get a coffee. I can be happy just running into one of you at Walmart. I can be happy just getting some peanut butter out of that little dispenser at Fresh Time Market. I love it. I see people in there. I shouldn't do this, but I just get strangers. Come here. Have you ever done this before? And they're looking at me like, what are you doing? And I take them over to that dispenser at the end of the aisle there by the nuts and all, which is probably why I'm there. And I'm like, there at the end, there's like these little dispensers. And have anybody else done this? You just take it, you turn it, and you push a button, and it's like, here comes a little bit of peanut butter. Oh, here comes a little bit of the honey roasted peanut butter. Here comes a little bit of cashew butter. Here comes a little bit of almond butter. And I do all four of them in that tiny little cup. And so we don't have to go to Niagara Falls to enjoy life, is what I'm saying. Okay? Please. I'm glad you're laughing because I see too many people that go through life like, that person, that situation, that deal that just, they burn me up. I'm like, really? Well, just go to Fresh Time and have some peanut butter. So Paul directs us. And he says this, to bear one another, not just their burdens, but to forbear as well. To forbear. What does that mean? That means just allow the Spirit to give you humility, lowliness, and long-suffering to just get through. It's okay. We're not here to worship you. You know? That's the deal. That's the deal. We had a situation that came up this weekend. Some of you know about it, some of you don't. It's okay. Hearts are breaking. I'm like, if I just allow myself, I would get so caught up in that, but I have to understand that, you know what? It's so much more, and I've got to stay focused. So much more. The believer. In fact, the word on bearing up, bearing with, in the original language means to stay up. In this, living out the faith that God works in. That's what that's all about. Living out the faith that God works in. That's why we've got to be in the Word. So that is living in us. You know, if we don't have time for the Word, we are terribly managing our time. Terribly. You are in charge of your time. Some people say, my life is not my own. That's not true. Your life is your life. Nobody else will live your life for you. We had a dear, sweet lady. She was in her late 80s, early 90s. She was in a nursing home in Perry, Oklahoma. I remember going to visit her one day. She had a wheelchair. This was before those walkers that you could sit and use as walkers. It was just her regular wheelchair. And I saw her walking down the hall pushing her wheelchair. I said, that's amazing. I said, look at you. And she goes, you know what? I've learned. If I don't take care of myself, nobody else will. And that's what Paul is saying here. We have to, and inside out, have the Spirit, that's the one who takes care of us, have the Spirit controlling and motivating and transforming and forming us into the image of Jesus. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. A couple more things, too. We have to have patience. Isn't it interesting that Paul puts it right there as one of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. We have to have patience. None of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. We fail, particularly in these human relationships. Sometimes we even get to the point where we expect more from other people than we expect from ourselves. I've dealt with some parents before that expect more from their kids than they expect of themselves, and they're upset because their kids aren't doing what their kids should be doing, and I'm like, Patience. In the church, it's the same way. We need to extend forgiveness. That's part of this forbearing and forgiving. And he says in the scripture, we need to forgive as God forgave us What he really is saying is this: if you don't forgive, you're holding a grudge. And if you're holding a grudge, you're living in sin. Can I tell you that again? If you're holding a grudge, you're living in sin. Just that simple. Jesus even went as far as to tell Peter, you got to forgive 70 times 7. And it takes work. It takes work. We've got to remember Jesus' attitude. That's why it's important to be in the Word. I had a friend, Carl Medeiros, his book, Speaking of Jesus. I was reading through that, and he talked about why is it we spend so much time, we need to get in the Gospels. And so like now, every day my reading is one of those 89 chapters of whether it be Mark, Matthew, Luke, or John. You know, just listening again and again and again and seeing what Jesus saw and listening. Sometimes I wonder, and this, don't take me wrong, sometimes I wonder if Jesus really wasn't all that smart. He was just aware. He was aware of his heavenly Father. He was aware of the kingdom. He was aware of his authority. Sometimes people, it's just, I know he was smart also. It's just that the issue was he was aware of everything around him and what the needs of people were. Are we aware? Check our own selves. Don't excuse our failures. Be sensitive in our world. Sensitive in our world. Another thing is don't base our forgiveness on the condition that somebody else will, as we work to apologize and work things through, don't believe that somebody will say, oh, I'm so glad you did that. I've been waiting, and I apologize too, and this is terrible, and this should, that may not happen. Right. You may go to one of your kids, your parent, a coworker, a relative, a friend, whoever it is, and you may say, oh, this was wrong, and I'm sorry, please forgive me. And they may just look at you and say, about time you came, and they may just turn and walk off. And that's okay. That's okay. Because it's not about them. Not about them. I want to give you one more scripture and we'll wind this down because it really amazes me as we talk about bearing with one another. It's in Romans chapter 12. I love Romans 12. John did a great teaching on it a couple years ago in our home group, all group study on Romans 12, 1 and 2. You did a super job, John, talking about that. And I still remember your message from that night. In Romans 12, you look down, beginning, oh, I don't know, in about verse 6 or 7 or whatever, all of a sudden, Paul just, as he's talking about being transformed into the image of Christ, about this idea of our minds not being molded and shaped by the world, but molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit, he just starts this list of stuff that we need to be living out as we're living in this life of Holy Spirit guidance. I just, he talks about serving each other. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, that's now verse 8. Be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Verse 9. Hate what is evil. Hold tightly to what is good. I love other translations that say, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Yes. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in, and you see all these things just unpacked as Paul says, this is how you live. This is how you live. This, and Paul is kind of wrapping that around to what he's taught in Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians with this whole idea of bearing with one another. And then for some reason, it's just the weirdest thing. He just tags the end of chapter 12. What a powerful chapter. He just says, oh, by the way, don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. I feel like that was kind of, it was the weirdest thing as I was looking at that. The weirdest thing because all these things are being laid out that go with this idea, bear one another's burdens, bear with each other, encourage each other, lift up, you know, all these things about each other. And then he said, oh, by the way. To me, what I read and saw here that Paul was saying to us is, evil exists in the world. Evil exists in the world. It's not in a third world country. It's not in some communist-led country. It's not dealing with a border or no border. It's even right here in Selma, Parker City, Winchester, Farmland, Muncie, wherever you want to say, Indiana. Evil exists. And sometimes I have to be so careful that in my own heart and life, that day by day, first thing in the morning, God, I want to make sure that today I am overcoming evil with good. You know? Starting with me and how I treat my wife and how I treat our dogs and when I text our kids, I want to make sure that I'm overcoming evil. I don't want to be a proponent of evil. Amen. See, that's why Paul says, as we bear with each other, because we are endeavoring to overcome evil with good. Amen. And we're not talking about just he's a good kid or she's a good kid. We're talking about righteousness. We're pushing back darkness with righteousness. I want to just close with this. It's something that's been kind of my hobby horse lately. And I've told you this before, I'll tell you again, instead of making right choices, you know, instead of being good kids or good people, we need to be, because the context here is not good, like good versus not good. Good versus he made a bad choice. It's good in the way of godly good, okay? When you see overcome evil with good, it's overcoming evil with godliness. So instead of having good kids, we need to have godly kids, okay? Amen. And this is another thing too. And instead of making right choices, because we used to pray this, help our kids make right choices. We started praying, help our kids make righteous choices. Because our world is constantly in a state of flux. And what's happening in our world is they are taking what is righteous and they're moving the line here a little bit and more and more and more and making the right choice based on what the majority thinks the right choice is. And somebody's term or their definition of right is based on their own experience. And we're in trouble when we do that. So right and good must become righteous and godliness. So right means righteous based on what this teaches. So that when we teach, we were talking about this at the game last night, so that what we teach is based on the righteousness of the word. So if people get upset and say, you're judging me, it's the word. It's the word. It does not change. It's righteous. It's godly. And the same thing about our kids. The same thing about our society. We're called, and that's why I believe this together, this better together thing is so crucial. Because the enemy's agenda, listen carefully, you know what I do too, John 10:10, is to kill, to steal, to destroy. And the best way to do that, military experts will tell you, is to separate. If we can just get that person off over there and get that group off over there and get these groups all over the place and sometimes even denominations and within denominations, if we can get these discussions going and we can pit the charismatics against the Calvinists and the Catholics against the Episcopals and the Methodists against the Nazarenes and wait a minute, that's what the enemy wants to do. But when he comes along, he says, you know what? You need to bear with one another. You need to get humble. You need to be long-suffering. You need to be lowly. That speaks to me, and I needed to hear that myself this morning. Would you stand with me, and can we bow our heads together and have a word of prayer? And can I just invite you this morning, if there's anything you're dealing with that you want to come and bring to the Lord, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're welcome to come to the altar. If it's a need in your life, if you're here to pray and intercede for someone else, brought up in Sunday school, and you may want to come and pray for that prodigal. We just need to pray for that person. Maybe this morning you're facing an issue where somebody is just really on your last nerve. Relative, friend, coworker, neighbor, I don't know. And you just need to come and pray about that. Say, Jesus, I need to bear with that person. Can I just tell you this? It's so much easier. Oh, it's so much easier to hold a grudge. It's so much easier to avoid. It's so much easier to act like nothing's wrong. It's so much easier to ignore. It's so much easier to post something on social media or talk on the phone or be in the hallway at work or school or wherever in the marketplace and share. This is where the work comes in. Bearing with one another. Bearing with. Would you like to come and pray this morning? Maybe this morning you've had an answer to prayer this week and you just want to come and thank the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you for bringing that miracle that I needed. Or that answer to prayer that brought me direction and peace. And you want to come pray about that. I know we got some folks today that want to come pray for some people that are sick that aren't here today. Think of Greg Pangborn, who can't be with us because he's sick. And others that have been fighting all kinds of bugs and flus and stuff. Maybe this morning you want to join me in praying for our kids. Our kids. I look at these kids that were here this morning, the nearly 20 who were here Wednesday night, and the numbers of kids that are staying after school on Tuesday, and then the eighth hour at the middle school at Selma on Wednesday, and then the kids that are coming to Good News Crew on Thursday at Monroe Central, for the kids that come to FCA on Wednesday at Monroe Central and Friday at Selma. That's our mission field, folks. Can I get some people to come and pray with me? I know you have a heart for these kids. Come and pray, would you? If you can't kneel at the altar, sit on the front pew. Thank you so much. Just come and pray, please, please. Let's intercede for these kids. I don't want them to miss heaven. We saw in Sunday school this morning that the rich man and Lazarus, there was a deal there. There was a line that when life was over, it was over. There was no praying to send Moses or somebody else to talk to those brothers. It was over. And when the lives of our lives and our kids' lives are over, they're over. It's eternity, heaven or hell. Thank you for coming to pray this morning. Jesus, we know there are lots of issues in our world, but we know that we are better together. If our hearts and minds are focused on your word, if your spirit is filling us, if we are listening daily, moment by moment, and being aware of those around us and their needs, Jesus, that you are on the scene. Thank you so much. Oh, Jesus, it breaks our hearts as we mentioned the word prodigal a while ago. We've got some prodigals out there today that need a touch, that need your healing, that need to be brought back to you. Not that they need to be right here at this place at this time. We'd love it if they were. But Jesus, they need to be brought to your side and at your feet, and they need to understand your love. We pray for those prodigals today, and we name them in our minds as to not embarrass anyone out loud here. We name them, Lord, and we bring them to your feet. Do what you do, to whatever it takes, Jesus, to draw them back to yourself. We've done too many funerals of people that were too young to die because they took things that God had intended and they were so twisted by the devil that they lost life. Weren't even in their right mind. Jesus, don't let it happen, we pray. We intercede for those prodigals. Lord, we pray today for those that receive those Bibles. As Bob came and talked with us this morning about people at Dollar General or Family Dollar, wherever these stores are, Walmart, that are receiving Bibles, that are receiving faith in Christ. Bless him, we pray. Increase his harvest. Thank you for the 250 last year that came to faith in Jesus. May it be so continually in his life and in the life of his wife and others that he ministers with. May it be so in the lives of people right here at these altars, Jesus. The Good News Crew kids, Lord, every time we see those kids, they're so full of energy and life. May that be channeled to you, Jesus, that they would find that joy, that they would find that love in Jesus. And may they teach us about what it means to bear with each other. Maybe sometimes, Lord, we just need to have some recess time just to get out and play together. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us, we pray. The enemy wants to distract us, whether it be on a screen, on a TV somewhere, or a computer screen, or a mobile device screen, or talking on that mobile device, or talking to people. We don't want to be distracted, Jesus. We're called to bear with each other, and we're here to do that today. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of bringing your word. We just believe there's a famine out there because people are so caught up in so many things and your word just gets put on the shelf or left on the table. We need your word. Help us today to live in your word. Breathe your word in. To breathe it in, Jesus. Be with other needs around these altars. Unspoken requests, Jesus. Even those mentioned in Sunday school. We trust you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we need you, Jesus. We need you. We need you. And Lord, help us to forgive. We didn't really talk about this, but help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. That's the key. That's the key. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.